from this morning. Acts chapter 3. I understand that Acts 3 was covered in your Sunday school lesson a few weeks ago. I know that you have known the story of the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. This morning, with God being my helper, I'm going to preach to you on the idea of when men go to church. When men go to church. For the sake of your stamina, I'm going to just let you remain seated. I'm going to read the first 19 verses of chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping, stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed hailed Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of y'all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. When men go to church. As you read this story, there are some things that stand out immediately. The miracle of his healing. The fact that Peter and John were going to pray together. All of these things kind of stand out. The fact that the man was leaping and praising God as he went into the temple. But as you look at this, and if I were to take the whole chapter, and if I were to look deeper into the whole chapter, there's four groups of men that stand out in Acts chapter 3. I'm going to deal with three of them. One of them I don't want to talk about because they're negative, if you will. And that's the critical men. These men that were wondering about what was going on. And they were questioning what was going on. They were being critical of what had happened to the lame man. They were being critical of Peter and John. I'm not going to dwell on those men. Amen. I don't want to be negative. But I do want us to look at the other three that kind of stand out to me. They are the crippled man. And he is named here in this chapter. He's not given a name. He's just called the lame man. Then there are what I'm going to refer to as the carrying men. It says that he was carried to the gate. And there they laid him. We don't know who it was. The Bible just says they laid him there. But there were men that carried their friend. And then the one I want to spend most of my time on are the Christian men. The word Christian means to be like Christ or to be little Christ. And here we find Peter and John, and they were Christian men. I believe this statement to be true. The world has yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in and by the man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. Dwight L. Moody, give us that great statement. I believe that in our society, and I believe this, I was asked this question just here recently and about ministry, and I believe that there needs to be a great resurgence of godly men. Men who want to be men of God. And let me say something to you, and I hope I exemplify this and show this and am a portrait of this. Just because you a godly man don't make you a weak man. Amen. I believe that Peter was a burly man. I believe Peter was a brawler, if you will. I believe he could have took care of himself if he would have needed to. Said, preacher, what makes you think that? There were temple guards surrounding him in Gethsemane, and he alone drew his sword and cut the ear off of another man. He was not a fraidy cat. He was not a scared man. Here in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4, he boldly stands. And so I believe that there needs to be a resurgence of good, God-fearing, God-seeking men. And I will say this, I'm thankful for the men that are around me at Mount Carmel Baptist Church. I feel like that you are a good group of men, and I want to encourage you this morning. But let's look at these men. Number one, the crippled man. I just want to look at him briefly because I don't want to deal with him a lot. But there's two things that are pointed out. Number one, the crippled man was a man who was paralyzed. He couldn't move. He couldn't do anything for himself. He couldn't walk to church by himself. The Bible says they carried him. He couldn't work because he didn't have the ability to walk. And so he was a man who was paralyzed. And the Bible says he was lame from birth. It says that he lay lame from his mother's womb. Something had happened to him in his mother's womb that caused him to be born a paralyzed man. He could not move or walk. He said, preacher, what's that got to do with us? Sometimes there's things that have happened to us that cause us just to be sitting by the wayside. He was a man who was paralyzed, and sometimes we are paralyzed. Maybe some tragedy in our past. Maybe some difficulty or trouble in our past. Something has happened to us that have caused us to be paralyzed. This man was unable to do anything, and so somebody carried him. Thank God somebody cared enough to carry him. Amen. And we'll talk about them in a few minutes. But he was a paralyzed man. Number two, he was a poor man. He was needy. Men, you ever been there? The Bible says I was poor and needy, but the Lord heard my cry. I'm glad, aren't you, that I have come poor and needy. I remember one day when I needed a Savior and I cried unto him, and guess what he did? He reached down his hand and he touched me. And now, like we were singing just a little while ago, I'm so glad that I'm saved by his marvelous grace. I'm so glad that I'm free from this world of sin. Why? Because I was a poor man in need of help, and God reached down to me. man, I believe, is a picture of all of us at some point in time in our life. Paralyzed by something that's happened and rendered us with inability to be able to fend and do for ourselves. A poor man, needy, said he begged alms. Said he was looking and begging for something. Had his cup out. I don't know where our cups are, if they're ready, but he had his cup out and was begging. Let me make a little
side note here. It might do us all some good to come to church with our cups up. Amen.
Might do us all some good to come into the house of God with our cups up and expecting something from the house of God. Something positive. This man knew if I held my cup up, I could get something. And he said here that when he was looking at Peter and John and he asked in alms, the Bible says, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now I'm going to chase a rabbit, but it would do us good to come expecting. Amen. Instead of just thinking, well, it's going to be church as normal. It's going to be church as usual. We're going to do the same thing in and out. I mean, listen, I had no idea this morning Miss Beverly was going to start praising the Lord like she did in the office. And I told her, I said, you help yourself. And then she come out here and got to praising the Lord. Why? Because God done something. She prayed, was expecting God to do. God is moving in that need, and God is working in that need. And wouldn't it be something if we as the children of God come to the house of God with our cups up, looking unto Jesus, expecting something of Him? Yes. It might change the outlook. It might change the way that church is done when we come. And let me tell you this, the reason I said when men go to church, this was a crippled man. This was a paralyzed poor man. But he was laid outside the church house expecting something. Amen. Now let me say this. There's probably some crippled people men that we have been by this morning that might expect something from the house of God. What are they expecting from us? There's your little side note. Number two, there was a crippled man. Number two, there was the carrying man. Notice what it said. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily. The carrying men. The Bible doesn't tell us who that they were. We don't know if they were relatives. We don't know if they were friends. We don't know if they were neighbors. But there's two things that I can see about these men. Maybe a few more things that I can see about these men that I want to call the carrying men. Number one, they really cared about their friend. Today they laid him at the temple gate. But who's to say where they laid him before? But they were taking him and placing him in places where he might could get some help. Why? Because they cared for him. I was told when I first began preaching that men will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's true, isn't it? As Christian men and women, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter, casting all your cares upon Him because He careth for you. As Christian men and women, people ought to know that they can come to us with burdens. They can come to us with troubles. They can come to us and ask us for prayer. Why? Because we care for them. Because He's cared for us, we ought to care for others. Amen. They were carrying men. They carried Him to different places to try to help Him, to do what they could. They carried Him to church. Why? Because they cared for Him. Can I say this? They cared for Him constantly. Daily. Daily. At the gate of the temple. They didn't just care when it was convenient. They didn't just care when it was easy. Ministering to people is one of the most tiresome and aggravating things you can do. Hey, man, let me tell you something. It's amazing how you'll try to help a man and then that man will bite the hand that tries to help him. Hey, amen. I've experienced that. Some of you know that. Some of you, I've experienced it just this past Sunday trying to help a man. And when it was over and done with, he looked at me and he said, "Will you still help me?" Yes, I still helped him. I got him some food out of the food closet. I went down and got him some diapers on Monday and gave him some money for some milk. And I won't tell you what happened on Sunday, but it appalled me of what was said and done to me. And then he asked because we need care constantly. Daily. Daily they laid him. They cared for him. They were constant in their care for him. And listen, they cared for him the right way. Where did they take him? They didn't take him to the bar rooms. They didn't take him to the saloons. They didn't take him to the bathhouses. They didn't take him. Listen, I'm not being ugly when I say these things, but they took him to the right place. Amen. They took him to the church house. They took him to the temple. Let me tell you something. If men that are crippled can't find care and love in the church house, where are they going to find it? If you can't find help here, where are you going to find it? I've looked out there in this world. It's a dog-eat-dog world. They don't care about you unless you can do something for them. But if you can't do anything for them, they will step and walk all over you to get where they need to go. But these men were not that way. They carried him to church. It'd be a good thing for some of us to talk somebody to church occasionally. Amen? Somebody we know we need help. It's the first two men, but the third group of men, the Christian men. The Bible says that Peter and John went up together to the temple to pray. Men, this is the type of men we ought to strive to be. I want to point out five little things about these men, and then I want to go forward and ask you, what kind of example are you leaving behind? Number one, these Christian men were men of fellowship. Verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together. The word together, listen to me, the word together appears 32 times in the book of Acts. Every time it appears, it's talking about fellowship. It's as if, Tyler, come up here and with me for just a minute. It's as if they went up together and they knew where they were going for a specific purpose, and they walked and they were in together. They were in one accord. They enjoyed each other's company. They were there together. It's good to be in fellowship with our brothers in Christ. Amen. The Bible says how beautiful and how pleasant it is for the people of God to dwell in unity together. It's like the dew upon Hermon. It's like the oil that runneth down into Aaron's beard. It's a beautiful thing for brethren to dwell in unity together. And here were Peter and John. But let me point out something. Peter and John were different. If you will, on the spiritual spectrum, they were at both ends. Nowhere do I find John wavering in the Scripture. Have you? John was a spiritual young man. He was a man who loved God, and God and Jesus loved him. And he was called the Beloved. He laid on Jesus' breast. He was there. And John was a great example, and he loved the Lord, and he was close to Christ, and he was, if you will, he was the one out of the three that was the closest to Jesus. Now Peter, on the other hand, I can relate more to Peter, can't you? Peter struck a man's ear and cut a man's ear off on Thursday evening. And just a few hours later was cursing and denying he ever knew God. I found myself there, hadn't you? Peter was a man who was not, if you will, he faltered. He proclaimed God or Christ as the Son of God 1 minute and then said, you don't have to die the next minute. He was walking on water 1 second and sinking and crying, Lord, save me the next minute. Peter was a good example of me. But God put both these men together. Listen to what I'm saying. God has assembled this congregation for His glory and for our good. And it might do us good for some of those that are spiritually minded to kind of hook up with those that might need to be mentored in the faith and make them accountable and help them. Amen. Not in holiness, haughtiness, and thinking I'm better than you, but it does do us good to dwell in fellowship together. And these men were in fellowship. They didn't let John didn't leave Peter because Peter run his mouth too often. But where do you find them? You find them together. God put them together with another. You know why there's so many churches? Fellowship's been broken. And because, men, I'm going to say this. You say, well, preacher, you don't know. You don't know the whole story. I'm going to say it anyway. Because we have not been men and went to one another and said, let's fix this and go forward for the glory of God. The attitude has been, well, bless God, I'll take my ball and go to another court. And that's what's happened. And then the people look around and they say, why are there so many churches? When a lost man, I've been asked this, when a lost man says, how come there's so many churches? It's a shame to have to say, lack of fellowship. Lack of fellowship. These Christian men were men of fellowship. Let me say this, they were men of faithfulness. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. They were coming at the appointed time and they were showing their faithfulness. This ninth hour was 3:00 in the afternoon. And it was the appointed time that men should come and pray. And they were coming at the appointed time. This is when we're to come. And so they showed their faithfulness. Some of the greatest testimonies that has ever been has men that have just simply, if you allow me to say it that way, simply been faithful in the little things. Let me show you. Let me tell you a story. This past week, I like to watch baseball. I like to watch softball. And this past week, I was eating lunch, and I was watching just a few minutes. I only had about 15, 20 minutes to watch a college baseball game. Bases were loaded. This team was down 6-0. Guy walked up to bat, and I could hear the announcers talking. He was like 1-for-15. He hit a ground ball, a little squibber to the shortstop. Shortstop grabbed it like this and tried to be sweet and cool and make the da-da-da-da-da-da ESPN top 10 and flip it behind his back. When he did, he missed the second baseman. A run scored. Bases loaded. Here we are all over again. Say, preacher, what's the point of this story? If he would have just been faithful to the fundamentals, they could have turned a double play. Inning would have been over and his team got the bat. Listen, I'm telling you this morning that it's men who are faithful to the fundamentals of Christianity, who get into the Bible and read and study the Word of God, who will get down and pray and seek God's face and beg for the Holy Spirit to move in their midst, for people to come faithful to the house of God at the appointed time and God be able to move in their life and be able to help them and encourage them. What it takes is men of faithfulness to be here, be in the house of God. They were faithful. They came at the appointed time. Can I say this? They came at the appropriate time. It was appropriate for several reasons. It was the ninth hour, about 3:00. Can I remind you of something else that happened at the ninth hour? On a hill called Calvary, when the Holy Ghost shook the world and God with his mighty hand went into the same temple that Peter and John were coming to and latched hold of the veil and from top to bottom split it wide open. Why? So that all men could have access to the presence and the holiness of God, and that they could come boldly to the throne of grace where they could find mercy and obtain grace. And these men were coming and they were supplicating and praying at the appropriate time. Thank God for faithfulness at the appropriate time. But it was also appropriate for the lame man. I mean, here he sat, sitting probably on the dirt, may have had a blanket covering him to hide his inability. And here come Peter and John at the appointed time, and how appropriate, coming to pray and to seek God's face. And then here is a lame man with his cup turned up, begging alms and expecting something. Let me tell you something. When we as God's people come at the appointed time and at the appropriate time, we don't know who might be sitting around us that's in need. We don't know when God begins to deal with your heart about a testimony, you don't know who might need to hear that testimony. It might need to be me. You don't know what might be going on in other people's lives. And as you just come to church at the appointed time, then it comes to find out that at the appropriate time, God can do a great thing. These men were men of fellowship. They were men of faithfulness. They came to the house of God at the appointed time and at the appropriate time. Number three, I'm moving in a hurry. Can you tell? You keeping up with me? Everybody here?
Yeah.
Amen? Am I boring you? Good. They were men of fellowship. They were men of faithfulness. But thirdly, they were also men of just straight up faith. Faith. Men of faith. You say, preacher, can you be faithful and not be... Liz, faithfulness to an institution does not denote faith. You can be faithful. Listen, I am registered,
and I know this is none of your business, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I am registered a Republican in Mitchell County, but I don't necessarily agree with everything Republicans do. Amen? Just because I may be enlisted
in an institution doesn't mean that I hold true to everything that institution is about.
Listen, these men were faithful to come to the appointed time. There's people that are faithful. Listen, that's why there are some that come and they come and they come.
And then when they get up in age, all of a sudden one day their eyes are open to the need of a Savior and they get saved. Listen, as Miss Beverly was talking, and I'm just using this because she gave a praise this morning. Listen, her son knows the truth. He sat under my preaching. He sat under the preaching of others. But not until now does he finally, has his eyes open to the gospel, and he's praying, that's God to forgive him of his sins. Listen, it may be one thing to be faithful, but it's another thing to be a man of faith. And these two were men of faith. They believe and they trusted in Christ. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Trusted in Jesus. Have you trusted in Him today? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have asked Him to forgive you? Are you saved today? These men believed in Jesus Christ. They trusted in Jesus. They had watched Jesus do these other things, and now they were able to say, I trust in Him. I trust in Him. They also relied upon the Holy Spirit's power. Jesus said, after you shall, the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall receive power. I believe they trusted the Holy Ghost. I believe they had faith in what God was doing in their life through the power of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost can do some things sometimes that scare the pants off of you, won't they? They'll scare the Baptist right out of you and make you be more like Jesus. Amen? Amen? Now listen, I'm not being ugly towards Baptists because I is one. But now let me tell you something. Sometimes we just miss the point when it comes to relying on the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we think that's for the charismatics. Well, God help me to be charismatic, to rely on the Holy Spirit of God so that I can be what God wants me to be and do what God wants me to be doing. And they said, listen, I believe Jesus is able, and I believe His Holy Spirit will enable me to do what He wants me to do. They were men. Now let me tell you something. Here's a little phrase I want you men to underline, all right? And verse number 4. When the man asked Peter and John alms, Peter, the Bible says, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. My sister had no idea what I was preaching. But Tyler, I want you to stand up. Colton and Mason, I want you to stand up. Tyler, Renfro, I want you to stand up. Boys, Tristan Hunter, I want you to stand up. Stand up. Every man in Mount Carmel, I want you to look at these men. These young men. Who's to say this right here might not be the next preacher? One of these men might be the next preacher. Who's to say that these young men standing up right here today may not be the next deacon? Chairman of Deacons, Brotherhood Director, Sunday School Director. Who's to say that these men might not be the next great missionary? They might be the next Jim Elliott standing in front of us, or William Borden, that might give back and forth the statement, no reserves, no retreats, and no regrets. And they might be writing down there. But let me tell you something, they will all
boys can be seated. What are we teaching this generation? And I know these young ladies that are sitting here. I know that my daughter's there. And I know that she's looking to me. But listen, I believe that God has ordained for the man to be a leader. And if men are not leading, then guess what? Satan will get people in the way to lead in ways that are ungodly and are detrimental. And it is a way of death and destruction. Men, are we living in a way that we can say, look on us? That's the question that I've pondered all week. Am I living out faith in such a way that I can say, boys, look on us. May God help us to be men of real faith. Real faith. Men that say, watch me. I'll deal with this in just a few moments a little bit deeper. I believe, fourthly, they were men of fruit. Verse 7, he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God, because they bore fruit. Jesus said in John 15, as he gathered those men around him, he said that we are to bear fruit. He said, one who doesn't bear fruit will be pruned. And then the ones that are bearing fruit will be pruned so that they can bear more fruit. And it is the will of God that we bear much fruit. Men, what kind of fruit is your life bearing? Hey, listen, I've had some worms in my apples, haven't you? I've had some to rot on the vine, haven't you? I mean, I'm not too prideful. I'm not too proud, but I'm not boasting in it either. I'm glad that God can take that rotten fruit and He can take it and get rid of it and He can bring something good out of it. Amen. But listen, what kind of fruit? These were men of fruit. Why? They were men of fruit because they followed Christ's example. They had saw Jesus. When there was lame come by, and He reached out and touched their hand. When the lepers come, He put His hand on them. The woman of issue of blood, He touched her and she touched Him, the hem of His garment, and they were able to make them whole. And these boys, I believe they remembered that Jesus said, greater things than these you will do when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And I believe they knew the Holy Spirit was on them, and so they were going to start bearing fruit. And when Peter looked at him, he said, listen, man, he said, I don't have any money. But listen, it wasn't the truth right there. Y'all deal with that in just a moment. Peter had access to all kinds of money because in Acts chapter 3 they brought it to him and laid it at their feet and said, disperse it. But here's what Peter did. Peter looked beyond that outward cup that was held up and knew that man needed a greater need. A few coins in a cup will mean that he'll come back tomorrow begging again, but you give that man strength in his legs and he'll glorify God. If he had dropped some coins into that cup, I'm just going to go ahead and get rid of it. If he had dropped some coins in that cup, he would have thanked Peter. He would have thanked John. But when Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and rock. And reached down, grabbed him by the right hand, and jerked him up immediately. Right then, at that moment, there was some strength fell his legs, and he was able to walk. Peter knew he had really ministered to his need. The man glorified God at that time. When he came, he followed Jesus' example. Now listen to me. Listen to me. How do we bear fruit? We bear fruit in our life based on what we believe. Will you agree with me right there? Will you agree with me right there? We will bear fruit based on what we believe. If I believe that Jesus is all we need for salvation, then I will tell and proclaim the gospel and good news of Jesus to a lost and a dying world, and I will tell them Jesus is the only way. Right? Well, how is it that right here in this man's life that Peter was able? Because Peter had a similar experience. How did Peter know that his faith was substantial? Why was Peter able to be faithful? Why was Peter able to fellowship? Because I believe you can go back to Matthew chapter 14. Jesus says, go yonder over to the other side. And the disciples got in a boat and they shoved off and they got in the middle of the ocean and they were towing and rolling and rowing. Jesus started coming to them walking on the shore. You know the story. Peter stepped out of the boat, Jesus said, come. When Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. Peter stepped out of the boat, started walking. When he saw the wind boisterous and the waves crashing, rain pelting him in the face, he began to sink immediately. And the Bible says that Peter cried out, Lord, save me. And guess what happened? There was a hand grabbed his hand. And where he had no strength and no ability, God lifted him up and gave him what he needed. Let me tell you something. You have that fruit in your life? Share what God's done for you. People are going to argue this book. They'll argue the infallibility of it. They'll argue the inspiration of it. But when you look at them and say, that was a day when I felt a knock on the door of my heart, and I asked the Savior to come in and forgive me my sins, and He washed them white as snow, and He put me on a path. Listen, and there will be a vast difference when Jesus come in. What a difference it made when the Lord came and stayed in my heart. Oh yes, I've been changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says that any man that is in Christ is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have passed away, and all things have become new. Peter says, it'll work, boys, because it worked for me. And he reached down to grab that man by the right hand, and he pulled him up, and he bore fruit in his life. What kind of fruit will we bear? Five. I believe that Christian men ought to be men of fellowship. I believe that we, through this story, we learn that they are men of faithfulness. They are men of faith. They are men of fruit. But I believe, lastly, they're also men of fidelity. The word fidelity, according to the dictionary, means to be loyal to a person or to a cause. These men were loyal, number one, to Christ. When you begin reading, and the reason I wrote 12 through 19 is because when you read 12, Peter says, why do you boys even wonder about this? Don't you remember Jesus? They were faithful to Christ. In the midst of Him growing in popularity, in the midst of Him being able to be lifted up, guess what He did? He didn't get any credit for it. He gave credit simply to Jesus. Loyal to Christ. Men, are we loyal, wholehearted? You know what it's called when adultery enters into a relationship? Infidelity. It's because somebody has not been loyal to their spouse. We are betrothed to Christ. We are His bride. Let us have fidelity in our life and be loyal to Christ. Number two, I believe that Christian men in their fidelity will be loyal to church. Loyal to church. Listen, I'm a church man. If you would have asked me 12, 15 years ago when I was just starting out in my calling to preach, if I would have been so much of a church man. I went from place to place when I was in high school. I went to two or three different churches. Berry Chapel was my home church, but I visited other places. Let me tell you something. There's something about being loyal to one place and setting down roots and beginning to let your roots grow deep, and so that your fruit can go higher, and so that you can make a difference through one place. Can I get an amen right there? It'd be a fine place for one. Because listen, we need to be loyal to the place where God has called us. Loyal to the meeting house. And when the meeting's going on, let's come to the house. Amen. People say all the time. Now let me just throw this in there, all right? People say all the time, well, I got this idea, and I got that idea, I got this idea, and I got that idea. I think we ought to do this, and I think we ought to do that. But what they're saying is, here's the idea, I want you to do it. That's not how God works. When God burdens you to do something, guess what? He's wanting you to do it. When God lays something on you, guess what? He's wanting you to be involved in it. It's real easy to point people in a direction and say, I think that'd be a fine idea. Won't you get at it? That's not the way God wants things done. And when God brings people together into the meeting house, what He's wanting us to do is work together
work together in fellowship, work together in faithfulness to be there at those times, work together in our faith. Let's trust God for the fruits of this labor, and let us go forward, and let us be loyal to what we're doing. They were loyal to Christ. They were loyal to the church. They were loyal to the cause. They never stopped proclaiming. Acts chapter number 4, verse number 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. It's easy being a Christian when everything's going easy. When you can maybe not have to stand trembling in the whole armor of God. But God wants men to be loyal when the giant is down into the dried up creek bed saying, come and fight. Whole army. Whole army of Israel hid. One young boy said, I'm going to fight. And he slew a giant. And you know what? There were other men around David later on that slew giants. But they had an example to follow. David said, is there not a cause? Mason, Colton, Tyler, Hunter, Tristan, stand up. Grayson's in his mama's arms, but he's asleep. So I'm not going to make her get him up, roust him up. Men, let me ask you something. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for men to go to church and to be an example? Look around you this morning and I ask you again, is there not a cause for us to be faithful and fruitful in our life? Listen to this. Boys, you can be seated. A real man is one who rejects passivity, accepts responsibility, and leads courageously, and expects the greater reward, God's reward. That's the idea men need to have. Dr. Robert Lewis said that. Listen to this. God can show himself as he really is only to real men. And that means not simply to men who are individually good, but to men who are united together in a body, loving one another, helping one another, showing him, Christ, to one another. For that is what God meant humanity to be like players in one band. Or organs in one body. Men, this morning, here is my invitation. If you are willing to say, I want to be a man like what these men were, I want every man in this church to stand up. Stand up. Every man. Just the men. Ladies, you can sit still. Boys, you too. All right, Tyler, Mason, Colton, you boys stand up as well. If you men say, I want to be a real man of God, I want to be the kind of man God has calling me to be, then listen, according to what it was said right there, then in one accord we ought to come together. I'm going to come down here. Men, if that's what you want, if that's what you desire is to be a real man of God in your life, every other head bowed and eye closed. I don't want anybody looking around. Then I want you to come join me down here around the foot of this cross and let's pray. Let's pray that God would move in our life to make us the real men that God would have us to be.